couch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Neil Miller, and you're listening to Fat Guys, the Movies, and welcome back for another episode of Awesome.
Awesomeness from two awesome hosts.
Really? Is that what it is?
That's exactly what it is. Well, one awesome host and a mildly awesome host. I think you're mildly awesome because you're so
mildly awesome and sometimes mildly offensive.
Yeah, speaking of offensive, let's just launch right in this. Did you hear about the whole Jamie Foxx, Miley Cyrus debacle?
No, but I want to.
Yeah, he put on his blog or something. He completely ripped on her and said she needed to get a gum transplant and told her to, quote, just make your sex tape already and grow up.
Oh, wow. That's a good one.
Yeah, well, what's so funny is it caused such a backlash that now Jamie Foxx, of all people, Jamie Foxx had to issue a formal apology to Miley Cyrus.
Well, you can't really say that she needs to make a sex tape. We found out once
because she's 16.
She's 16. I mean, just be 18 already and make your sex tape is kind of close to being okay, but still not okay.
Well, and the thing I think was funny about Jamie Foxx is he's making fun of her gums because she's got some chompers there when she smiles, but she's still cute. Jamie Foxx is the last person to make fun of somebody's teeth.
That's true.
He needs to get some braces and burn off some of those moles on his face.
I saw the preview for The Soloist. He's also homeless. What's the deal with that?
He is homeless and schizophrenic. So yeah. What's his problem?
So,
and apparently he was blind a couple years ago.
Really? Oh, yeah, that's right. And he played the piano. And, yeah.
Bop, 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 bop. Yeah.
Anyways, what's wrong with Miley Cyrus's gums? I'm currently looking up pictures of Miley Cyrus, and I don't see anything wrong with them.
Well, she doesn't. It's not that she has bad gums. It's just that she's got a set of chompers on her. They're not bad. They're not what's her name from Spider-Man? Kirsten Dunst. They're not like the snaggletooth, crooked teeth kind of poking out of her face like Kirsten Dunst. But, I mean, she's got one heck of a big smile. Let's just say that.
Okay.
And anyways, she's adorable. And she's ruling the box office. So what the heck does Jamie Foxx have to say?
I don't see what's wrong with this. But so if you have any comments about Miley Cyrus, here's how you can get them to us. You can get a hold of us over at fatguysthemovies.com. You can get us on iTunes. You can subscribe to us, in which we talk about Miley Cyrus a lot. Just search Fat Guys the Movies on iTunes.
What?
In the iTunes store. You can email us at fatguysatfilmschoolrejects.com or you can leave us a voicemail, area code 614-388-8735. Bam.
Yes. Have we gotten any voicemails lately?
Maybe.
We haven't gotten any emails. No more emails. Our unnamed reader thanked me for his contribution to our show last week that we read about the Wolverine leaked footage.
Oh yeah, about the leaked footage.
The leaked footage. When you say leaked footage, you're talking the entire film.
Yes. And by leaked footage, we mean everything.
Everything. Yes. And raw footage too. So, yeah. Speaking of raw footage, let's talk about Zac Efron.
Why is that funny?
I have no idea. Here's something else that's funny about Zac Efron. What famous actor had the middle name, original middle name Efron? Only he used two Fs.
I don't know.
He is exactly the same as Zac Efron. Guess.
No idea.
Ernest Borgnine.
Ernest Borgnine, awesome.
Ernest Borgnine. His original name was, I forget what his first name was, but his middle name was Efron.
Yeah.
And he chose to go with the stage name Ernest, which is weird. Because usually it's like your name's weird to begin with, and then you pick a normal name.
Mm-hmm.
But he chose Ernest Borgnine.
Well, Efron Borgnine would be weird. Super weird.
Especially
Ernest is at least a semi-normal name.
Yeah. And so anyways, let's talk about Zefron's new movie. This is 17 again. Matthew Perry gets a second chance at high school when he turns into Zac Efron and tries to connect with his wife and kids.
No way. It's freaking me out.
It's freaking me out. I'm pubescent. This is my chance to have my life over, but to do it right. I'm going back to high school, man.
Don't even think about sucking me into it with you.
I'm here to enroll my son.
Sup.
What is this you're wearing? This is hip.
What'd you do, Mug Cave Head?
What are you wearing? You look like Clay Aiken.
Hey, Mom. This is Mark.
Wow.
You look just like my husband. So weird.
It is weird.
Now, you didn't see this, did you?
No, I skipped it because I decided that I had better things to do.
Okay.
Like, not sure what those were.
Yeah, I'm curious. What were the better things? What could be better than seeing Zefron's first shot at leading a leading role outside of the high school?
Watching old episodes of Lost?
Lost is a good show.
Well, I watched... Oh, I know what I did. I watched Caprica, the new Battlestar Galactica spinoff.
That's cool.
So that's totally... I don't see anyone who's going to argue with that.
I'm looking forward to that. We'll talk more about Caprica next week, because I'm sure that's going to be a subject of discussion. Because the heck with movies like Frost Nixon and The Wrestler, which are coming out on DVD next week. We'll talk Caprica next week. That's
seriously.
Absolutely. But as it stands right now, I guess I'm the only one who saw 17 again. Mm-hmm. And this is what's interesting about it. This is not a new story. And we've seen this. You know, this is Freaky Friday. This is Vice Versa. This is...
Mm-hmm.
They even made a movie in the 80s called 18 Again with George Burns. It's nothing to do with... It's not like a sequel or a remake.
And 13 going on 30. And...
Yeah, all these sort of like age-bending comedies. And what...
And one of my favorite movies of all time, Big.
Big, yeah, there's another one. Oh, of course, that was going in the opposite direction.
Well, and 13 going on 30 were the opposite direction.
Exactly. But this one... Well, first of all, the big draw, obviously... is Zac Efron, and he kind of feels sorry for Matthew Perry, because I kind of just picture him watching the ads going, I'm in the movie too. Because they just completely gloss over him. Now, granted, he's only like in the very beginning and the very end, but you know.
But hey, man, it is Zefron, okay?
Yes. And
that
the
is
thing
a train
is,
that you just cannot stop.
Yeah, he does an okay job. I mean, he's decent enough. He's charismatic, scrawny kid. And there's a line in there where he goes like, I'm pubescent, which he's really not, because they show him like without a shirt on. The guy doesn't have a lick of hair on his chest. So he's really this sort of like bizarre man child. His normal fan base, which is like 11-year-old girls and younger.
Yeah.
This might be actually a little bit, it deals with like teen pregnancy, and they have teen drinking and smoking and stuff like that. And it's PG-13. So, I mean, it's not like raunchy R-rated or anything like that. It's very solidly PG-13.
It's going to be tough for all the 12-year-olds that are really into Zac Efron.
Yeah. So when you got to like the 8-year-old girls that are like, I want to see this, parents, you might want to be at least know what's in the movie. So you don't have to explain, well, yeah, she's pregnant. How'd that happen?
Yeah.
Ask your mother. You know, he does a really good Matthew Perry impression at times, and he holds his own. The biggest problem is I don't think Zac Efron has quite got it down. He's got looking cool down, but being sort of affable and slapsticky and self-deprecating, he's a little rocky on.
Right. He was kind of rough on Saturday Night Live last week.
Yeah, I mean, he does okay, but really the guy who steals the show is Tom Lennon.
Oh my God, he steals everything.
He's hilarious in the movie. He's like the best part of the movie, and he's in there quite a bit, but he plays Matthew Perry's adult-aged best friend who's a total geek who's got lots of money because he writes computer programs, but he's like a total fanboy. So he's great.
Right.
This movie's okay. I don't know. It's really more for teenagers. It's really more for teenagers than like little kids or adults.
Nice.
So I'm going to say kind of sucks for myself. Sorry. Hmm.
Kevin says kind of sucks. I don't know what to say.
Sorry, Zach.
But anyways, when we come back, I'm going to be in the bathroom, and Kevin and a special guest are going to review the other movies of the week.
And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies. We have made Neil Miller take a trip to a different room in the magical studio in the sky, and with us to discuss some of the other movies that are out this weekend is Chris Alexis from 7M Pictures. Hey, Chris, how are you doing?
After I saw Crank 2, I'm doing pretty bad.
Well, okay. Well, let's just move right into that. Let's talk about Crank 2. This is the sequel to Crank, obviously, where Jason Statham was a man who had to keep zapping himself with adrenaline. Now we've, after falling 10,000 feet from a helicopter and supposedly dying, he comes back because he now has an artificial heart because somebody has stolen it for somebody else, and he's got to run around zapping himself so he could keep his heart alive.
My name is Jeff Chelios, and today I didn't die. It's Dawn Heart. Why not just let me die?
They were keeping you alive to farm your organs.
They gave you an artificial heart?
Yeah.
How many bars is the battery charge?
One.
You got 1 hour. Keep your body electrically charged to keep it pumping. If you can get hold of your heart, I'm reasonably sure I can put it back in.
Now, Chris, they didn't screen this for anybody. Actually, I don't think they screened it for anybody. And we went and caught it at a late night picture show. First, since you gave us your such, you know, eloquent, I guess, you know, early review of this, tell me a little more in depth why you didn't like this movie.
It was the dumbest, stupidest, most annoying movie that I've ever seen in my whole entire life. It was just, just these random, I don't even have the words for it. It was just colossally stupid and annoying, and I just wanted it to end. Like, 10 minutes into it, I was hoping it was over.
Yeah. Well, it was very frenetic. The first one was frenetic, and it was shot on video, and it was shot with a high shutter speed. So it's not easy on the eyes. You actually left the theater at one point.
I had to leave the theater for about 5 minutes. We were sitting kind of close to the screen near the front row, and I was just getting dizzy and nauseous, and I had to like walk out, drink some water from the water fountain, and just get the heck away from that, because it was just, it's horrible. And I was actually walking around looking at movie posters for a couple minutes just to try and clear my head.
You're like going, whoa, hey, Angels and Demons, maybe I'll check that out. Oh, look, Star Trek. Oh, another Star Trek poster. Let's go check that out.
Pretty much, yeah. This, for those with motion sickness, avoid this movie, like, at all costs. Seriously.
This one was, I have to say, I did not like this movie. I thought the first one was mildly fun and interesting, but this one, it was so over the top. I mean, the first one was over the top and crazy. This one was over the top and crazy and random, like you said, randomly over the top and crazy. The characters would show up and they'd say things and they'd have flashbacks and they'd sometimes flashback to the movie, the first movie, but then they'd go off on these weird tangents that really made no sense, even in the context of the story. And it was so just bizarre. They had this one section at the end. I'm not even going to spoil it. If anybody's going to see it, you know, it's, you'll know what I'm talking about, where it just goes completely bat poop crazy. It just went completely nuts and turns into, an homage to Godzilla movies.
Yeah, I didn't understand that. I mean, yeah,
Well, don't give away too much, because for those people out there that are dying to see it, you know, no spoilers here, but it was an homage to Godzilla movies. We can say that.
Right on. Is there anyone who really...
Don't spoil it.
No,
just,
I'm not.
Yeah, yes, there are people who want to see it, and people we left the theater who liked the movie because they were nuts. But yes, yeah. Chris, you have a problem thinking that just because you didn't like a movie, obviously nobody else would like it.
Exactly. Everyone should have my opinion and my opinion only, right?
Well, and you tend to like most movies you see, but when you pick a movie, not this movie, because I don't think this movie is going to do well, because I really don't think it's going to have good word of mouth. It's like the diehard fans are going to like it. But you have this tendency to, when you pick the movie you don't like, it's like a movie that a lot of other people do like. Your famous one between us is Capote.
Which, I hated Capote. Capote was the worst movie ever.
And the whole winning Academy Awards hadn't meant nothing to you.
Not at all. No, they must have bought them off or something.
Now, see, the thing is, because I hated the movie Crash, but I recognize that there's a lot of people that liked it, and it won a lot of awards. It won the Academy Award and everything like that. But you have a trouble believing that. Like, you'll sit there in a room full of film critics, and somebody would be like, yeah, that movie is terrible. And you're like, yeah, like Capote, that piece of garbage.
Exactly. Everyone should have my opinion and taste in movies.
Well, so, anyways, Crank 2 is unnecessary. There's maybe, it's not that the first one was a plot-heavy movie, but it made more sense. This one was literally them just throwing things against the wall and saying it's crazy. It's sort of like drinking a Red Bull, and like it keeps you awake while you're driving for like 20 minutes, but you just can't keep slamming Red Bulls because you'll just throw up.
I wanted to throw up during this movie.
In fact, there were people that did throw up in this movie. Not in the theater, but in the movie.
What, you mean audience members threw up?
No, not in the theater, in the movie.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Were you not watching the throw-up scenes?
I had my head down for half the movie.
Oh, okay. Well, anyways, so your official Fat Guy grade, you know, what, did it suck or did it rock?
It sucked.
Sucked worse than anything you've ever seen in your life? Anything of all movies, like, you know, even bad YouTube videos?
Yeah, it was the worst thing I've ever seen in my life, ever.
Ever. There you go. You heard it from Chris Alexis. Sucked. Couldn't suck more. I thought it sucked, too, so I'm in agreement with you on that one.
Good.
Okay. Well, let's move on. The other movie that well, actually, you didn't see, so I'll be doing some talking, but I wanted to get your opinion because Neil Miller didn't see this because Neil was too busy. I don't know what he was doing. He saw Star Trek early, and I guess he figures he doesn't have to see anything until you obviously don't listen to the show.
He saw Star Trek early?
Yeah, it was kind of big news because they showed it in Austin.
I want to see Star Trek.
Okay, great. You go back and listen to last week or the week before of Fat Guys of the Movies, and you'd hear him talk about Star Trek.
I'm going to download that tonight.
If you go to Film School Rejects, there's reviews of Star Trek.
Really?
Yeah. Thanks for the support of the site, Chris. Okay, anyways, let's move on. The next movie was State of Play, where Ben Affleck plays a congressman whose assistant is murdered or dies, and they don't know whether she's murdered or suicide or anything. And then two reporters, Russell Crowe and Rachel McAdams, look into the situation.
I heard a young woman was murdered.
Who told you that?
You just did.
Sonia Baker, a valued member of my staff, died this morning.
Congressman Collins. He's an old friend of yours, is that right?
Good reporters don't have friends, only sources.
You okay?
Collins was allegedly having an affair with a young woman.
Want to know everything that we can about her. You've got 8 hours.
The casings at the crime scene were untraceable. That is the mark of a pro.
Now, you didn't see this either.
No, I haven't seen it.
You want to see it?
No.
No, even though it has Rachel McAdams in it?
Okay, well, maybe I'll see it then.
Okay. So easily swayed. Actually, this movie, I have to say, it wasn't too bad. I enjoyed, well, let's put it this way. This year, in 2009, we've had a couple political thrillers come out. We had, like, The International with Clive Owen, and then we had Duplicity with Clive Owen. And now we have this movie, State of Play. Clive Owen is nowhere near this film. And maybe that's the thing that makes it better than the other two. It has enough stuff going on. There's enough intrigue, enough interest going on in the movie that I enjoyed it. It's based on a BBC miniseries, which ironically I got like literally on my way to the screening. It came in my mailbox, so I didn't get a chance to see the BBC version first. We'll talk about that maybe next week. But it was a decent sort of grown-up political thriller. And you work at a newspaper.
Yeah, I'm a journalist.
Okay, I'm sorry, you're a journalist. You don't just work at a newspaper. I work at a newspaper, and I like clean people's toenails. No. It has an interesting nod to the fact that newspapers are a dying breed, and that the internet is... internet and like radio and television, the immediate news sources are the ones where you're going to get the actual news stories.
Yeah, pretty much. I'd agree with that. This movie, I guess, makes a nod to that, you said, right?
Yeah, because Rachel McAdams plays the one of the bloggers at the paper, the Washington Globe, the fictitious Washington Globe. And Russell Crowe is the old school journalist who, you know, sort of the Woodward and Bernstein type. And so they have a clash of their things. And they basically make the nod to the sense that papers are a dying breed. Helen Mirren, as the editor, makes that note a couple times. And I used to work at a paper, so I kind of get that. But even beyond that, it's still not a bad political thriller. I'm going to say it kind of rocks.
Kind of rocks. This is the first movie I've seen Ben Affleck in a long time.
Yeah. Well, you know what's funny is he plays the senator. Russell Crowe plays the reporter. And supposedly they were roommates in college. And I remember watching this thing going, because Ben Affleck's about my age. He's like, what, in his late 30s or something like that?
I guess. I have no idea.
Okay. And Russell Crowe is, I think, 500 years old. And he's way older than Ben. I don't think he's in his late 30s. I think he's probably well into his 40s. It's just they literally do not look like they could have stepped off the same campus.
Could have been a late bloomer. You never know.
Well, we were roommates when I went back to college when I was 36. So that's the most unbelievable part of it.
Or Ben Affleck could be a genius. Maybe he went to college when he was 12.
Well, he did win Academy Award, didn't he? Just like Philip Seymour Hoffman did for Capote.
Shut up.
Okay. So, but anyways, it's not a bad movie. Definitely worth seeing. Of all the movies that are out this weekend, new 17 again, State of Play, and Crank 2, I would say that State of Play is probably your best bet, and it's the one that you can go to as a grown up and feel smart.
What about Zac Efron? Don't you love him?
You can go back and listen to the first part of our show, Chris, when it actually goes live. So we got to get going, and when we come back, Neil Miller will return.
Miles of hard road, 33 years of tough luck, 44 skulls buried in the ground, crawling down through the muck.
Oh yeah.
And we're back here on Fat Guys the Movies, and I have returned from the lavatory, and we have sent Chris Alexis back out into the wild.
We put him back in his cage and put him underground again, so for the next time where he's seen movies that you haven't.
Mm-hmm.
Which will probably be like next week.
You sound so excited about that. You're like, oh, okay. Now that I went to the bathroom, I'm going to go take a nap. Thank you.
Hey, man. Sometimes you just need to take a nap. But let's talk about box office, shall we?
Woo. Sure.
Last week, we had the Hannah Montana movie, which was the obvious pick to be number one. Made $32 million.
It was not. No, you know what? It wasn't the obvious pick. There were people out there.
It was
there
the obvious pick for me, man.
Well, for me, too. I thought it was definitely going to do well. But if you looked at like a lot of the predictions, like John Carnes on Film School Rejects, he picked Hannah Montana, so he was accurate on that. But even he pointed out in his DVD or his box office report that a lot of pundits out there were picking Fast and Furious to beat it.
Right.
You knew that, didn't you?
But what they don't understand is, it's Miley.
Well, you know...
Do you ever watch The Soup, by the way?
No, I stopped watching The Soup when they, like when John Henson started.
Oh, man.
Like, back 10 years ago.
Their Miley Cyrus jokes are funny.
Oh, are they?
Like, they do this thing every time Miley comes up where this girl comes out and she's like, it's Miley!
You know what's funny?
It's funny.
People are, like, so down on her, and I'm just like... I mean, whatever. If you don't like her stuff, or if it's not age appropriate for you, I mean, if you're a 25-year-old mm-hmm. fanboy living in your parents' basement, you know, watching every Star Wars clip online and then complaining about it, you're not going to like Miley Cyrus. But people just, there are a lot of Miley haters out there.
Yeah, I don't get it either.
Yeah.
I mean, she's totally cute. Yeah. She's probably going to do a sex tape at some point she's older.
Again, okay.
You know, she seems to... You know what's funny about Miley Cyrus? She seems to actually have a pretty good head on her shoulders. Like, she gets it. She gets stardom.
Well, you know what's funny about...
Pretty well.
This is the thing about Miley Cyrus. And since I watch a lot of the Disney videos that they send me,
We all know why.
I've seen the Hannah Montana show. My kids like the Hannah Montana show. It's cute. It's a sitcom for kids. They release like a one-shot DVD where it's like got 4 or 5 episodes on it, and that's kind of how they release the kid shows nowadays instead of doing the box set first complete season kind of thing. The latest one they did had a couple episodes. Like, one of the episodes was about paparazzi trying to get Hannah Montana to do things stupid, and then they were like trying to stage their own Hannah Montana inappropriate photos.
Mm-hmm.
And so what's happening is, in the show, since she plays a famous person, they're actually, and then they had like an episode where she was trying to change her look and style. She was kind of going into teen grunge instead of like the bubblegum pop thing. And so they're actually now writing the television show, kind of paying attention to what's being said about Miley Cyrus in the press and incorporating that into the show and basically saying, people
it's very self-aware. I can dig that.
It's actually really kind of funny when because they like in one episode they go and they try to make The Rock look stupid so they can sell a paparazzi photo, and then they feel guilty because they're like, oh, we know what this is like. So
yeah. Side note: someone just sent me a link to a video of a cat riding a Roomba, and it's awesome.
Wow. You know what I'd like to see? I'd like to see a video of you riding a Roomba.
I don't think that's possible.
I think it would be awesome.
The Roomba would revolt.
I'd love to see it try. I actually have a friend up in Dallas who has a Roomba, so maybe you can just drive up there and do it. I'd pay for the gas if you videotaped that. It would be
awesome. I used to work at Best Buy, so I could have done it then.
Wow.
But I didn't. So there you go.
Shame on you. Anyways.
Anywho.
So Miley Cyrus won the box. The reason everybody was sort of, you know, real nervous to predict that is because when the Jonas Brothers concert...
The Jonas Brothers tanked.
Yeah, it didn't do very well. And then they're like, well, it must mean that the Disney... Because people who do box office, the box office pundits are idiots. And they literally think that these trends, just these weird, bizarre ways to connect movies... Like when Fast and Furious came out, they're like, it's the biggest opening about a movie about racing. And you're like, really? Seriously? You're going to compare Fast and Furious to Disney Pixar's Cars? They're totally different movies and they're totally different audiences, you know?
Yeah.
So, but that's what they do. They're like, oh, well, the Jonas Brothers tank. So apparently the Disney Channel stuff, is not going to do well. And then she comes out and gets the biggest Easter weekend ever, even with the lower numbers that were reported on Monday.
Right.
So, and the and you know why? Because they overestimated the box office on Sunday. Because they're like, well, people go see movies on Sunday. I'm like, well, the Disney Channel crowd, the Miley Cyrus crowd, they're like all in church and going to family dinners on Easter Sunday.
Right, because all young people are religious.
Well, no, but the Miley Cyrus Disney Channel crowd tends to be that very family-oriented thing, and they're going to go to church right. And go eat Easter dinner. And then they had a huge showing on Monday. They had a much bigger showing on Monday. And on Friday of last week, on Good Friday, it made half its money on Friday between midnight shows. And I went and saw
right.
I saw Dragon Ball at midnight, and they were at the theater I saw it. They had Hannah Montana midnight show, an Observe and Report midnight show, and Dragon Ball midnight show. It was the weirdest mix of people at the concession stand line I've ever seen in my life.
It was like little kids, creepy weirdos.
Yeah.
And what was the other one that you... What did you go to see?
Dragon Ball.
Oh, yeah.
Evolution.
And total... And a bunch of, like, middle-aged dudes.
Yeah. Well, you know what's really funny about the Dragon Ball movie is, you know, we just previewed it last week because they didn't screen it in advance. And so I went and I saw the midnight show. And what's funny is when I did my, I do all my radio calls and some of them I pre-record on Thursday, so I hadn't seen it. I was
so you just lied.
No. I was actually able to more coherently talk about it before I saw the movie than after I saw the movie. I'm like, I'll do my radio show. Oh yeah, well this is it's based on this Magna comic strip, comic book from the 80s and blah, blah, blah. And then I saw it and I'm just like, I have no idea what this was about.
Nice. That's always good for a movie. I think.
Yes.
When you have no idea what it's about after you see it.
Yes.
So. All right. Well, anyways, let's predict this week. We've got we've got Hannah Montana still doing her thing.
Mm-hmm.
We've got 17 again is our big release, the widest release.
The most and State screens, of, yeah.
We've also got State of Play and Crank High Voltage.
Yeah.
Which I think Crank should do mildly well.
It'll like, do
I
feel okay.
Like, I feel like it'll sneak into the top three.
Yeah.
I feel like 17 again is going to win the weekend.
Really? You know, I'm going to go out on a limb and say State of
Play. People like Zephron.
I'm going to say State of Play because I think it's got the widest audience. And when you had Duplicity, you had the International, we really haven't had a good, solid grown-up movie. For that sort of audience, and I think there's a group that wants that. There's people who are going to go see it. 17 again is going to be fighting for the Disney Channel crowd because of the Miley Cyrus movie is still out there, and with a PG-13 rating, I think it's going to suffer more than people expect because when I went and saw the screening for it, there were not nearly as many what you'd say diehard Zac Efron fans there as you'd expect.
Interesting.
So I'm actually
maybe there just aren't enough Zac Efron fans in Ohio.
No, they're definitely Zac Efron fans in Ohio.
Whoa!
Even
you
when you left,
know something that I don't.
Even when you left.
All right. So you think
I'm going
you
with
think
State of Play.
That the State of Play is going to win? Okay. Well, I'm going to say 17 again. Then Fast and Furious second and Crank.
Oh really? No, I'm saying State of Play, 17 again, and then
You know what? I take that back.
Hannah Montana.
I think Crank is going to take away Fast and Furious' audience.
I think so. Absolutely. I think Fast and Furious is, now that you've got Crank out there, it's going to stink like a stone.
Okay.
So,
nice.
So there you go.
All right. Moving on. Hey, real quick, did you see the trailer for The Hurt Locker?
No, I did not. Should I have?
Oh, it's awesome. You should. You should watch it.
I don't read websites like Film School Rejects.
For all of our listeners out there, go to Film School Rejects. go to any of our articles, and down the right side, you'll see our latest video thing. And in there is the trailer for The Hurt Locker. It's awesome.
Okay.
I saw the movie at South By, and it is amazing.
Really?
So.
Is it sci-fi, isn't it?
No. It's a movie about, it's an action movie about ordnance.
You mean like a bomb?
Team, okay. In Iraq. They're essentially an army bomb squad.
Oh, okay.
In Iraq. And it is probably one of the most intense action movies I've seen in the last 10 years.
Is it as intense of an action movie as 17 Again is?
Oh, definitely.
Is it as intense of an action movie as Hannah Montana?
Oh, for sure. What I mean, it's close.
What about the Jonas Brothers concert?
I don't know. There's a lot of action in the Jonas Brothers concert.
There's a lot of action. Okay.
Oh, boy.
Anywho.
We have derailed.
Speaking of video clips on filmschoolrejects.com, there's one for Inglourious Basterds. Not Bastards.
Oh, yeah, we put that up.
Bastards. Yeah.
So, yeah, that... I don't know. What do you think about that movie there, Kevin? That debuted on American Idol when Quentin Tarantino went on American Idol.
Yeah. I don't know. Yay. I'm holding out hope. What's the running? First of all, whenever there's a Quentin Tarantino movie, the first issue comes to mind is running time.
Mm-hmm.
Is it going to be like long and boring?
I don't know. It looks... I have no idea yet because it's not done. Yeah. It'll need to be done right in time for Cannes, the Cannes Film Festival. But
which is like in like looks, 3 weeks, isn't it?
Yeah, it looks like it could be a lot of fun.
It looks interesting. Yeah, but again, there are two things that I think that worry me a little bit about it. First of all, if it comes in and it clocks in at 2 hours and 20 minutes, I'm going to be like, I don't know.
Yeah, that's true.
Because I don't know if there's... Because from what I've seen in the clips and the trailers, I don't know if there's enough story to sustain a more than two-hour movie, which he tends to do long. And second of all, is he going to go into this witty dialogue stuff, or is he just going to have a lot of action and Nazis getting killed?
I'm thinking Nazis getting killed.
Yeah, I could deal with a 100-minute movie that is just nonstop killing Nazis.
Yeah, which, from what he said, that's what this is.
That'd be cool. So I'm looking forward to it. Mm-hmm. I'm curious. I definitely will want to see it. I want to see it, and the clip looks interesting. Definitely looks interesting.
We're in the killing Nazi business.
That's right. Yeah.
Nice. And you also wanted to mention the big cancellation of the week.
That's right. I've been covering the Terminator Sarah Connor Chronicles for Film School Rejects, and it has officially, although it hasn't, official word hasn't come out, EW has reported that it is going, definitely it's canceled and they're not coming back, which I think is awesome because it's one of the most boring action shows on television. And it's ruining the franchise, in my opinion. And you'd think that McGee could do that by himself, but no, the TV show was just making it a boring, ridiculous...
Hey man, McGee's movie is going to be awesome.
I think it's going to be cool. I can't wait to see it. But I was terrified that Salvation would do really well, and then they'd renew Sarah Connor for like another season, and it would just kind of mope around. Yeah, and they don't even—they're not even consistent with each other. They don't even line up.
Yeah.
So there.
Cool, man. Well, when we come back, we'll be wrapping you up. And we're wrapping you up here on Fat Guys in the Movies. We have, I feel like I haven't done anything yet in this episode. Because
you haven't. You haven't seen any movies, and you don't even like the DVDs that are coming out.
I went to the bathroom.
Thank you.
I felt like I accomplished something there. And I have a nap coming up, so there's that.
What are you, 70 years old?
No.
Yes.
I'm going to watch some old episodes of Lost, and fall asleep. What's wrong with that? This is the life I've chosen to live, Kevin Carr.
The only difference between that and like really, really old people is they watch the Weather Channel and then fall asleep.
Well, we do have the box set for the West Wing, and that's pretty close.
Do you have the Weather Channel, the complete first season?
Yes, actually.
All 9,000 hours.
Oh my God.
On 800 DVDs.
Yeah, and I have one of those 400 disc. Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm doing my own little 70-year-old man impression.
I have the 400 disc set, the 400 disc changer, DVD changer in my house.
So. They're coming out of Blu-ray, high def, the Weather Channel first.
Oh man, I'm gonna have to buy a new player now.
First complete season.
Because I don't want to get up to have to change the discs. So, but anyway, speaking of DVDs, it is time, as we always do, to do the DVD roundup. And we'll start with me.
Yeah,
how
you
about
start,
we start with me?
Because there's only one movie that you actually remotely liked in this.
Oh my God, this is an awful week for DVD, by the way. So, just keep that in mind as Kevin goes through all of his picks.
Yeah.
Mine's The Reader because it was a very solid movie, and it is about a Nazi woman played by Kate Winslet.
Well, she really she really wasn't a Nazi. She just worked for them.
Yeah, she worked for the Nazis.
She just played one on TV.
She had sex with a young man. She's naked through the whole movie.
Like, all through the entire movie. She never puts on any clothes.
Beyond that, it's a really good movie.
It's a great film.
Beyond the nudity, the Kate Winslet nudity.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, yeah, no, go see The Reader, because it really did. It deserved all the acclaim it got. Yep. So,
won the Academy Award. Woohoo.
Yeah, do it.
Cool. Well, I'm going to give my pick. Actually, probably the biggest, the number one pick, I'd say, which is really sort of, if I were to pick any of them, I'd say this is the pick to check out, is Skins Volume 2. It's a BBC series. Have you ever watched any of it?
No, but I have some. I have Volume 2 waiting for me to watch it.
Okay, cool.
Later. I might watch it later today after I'm done with the Weather Channel.
It's a really, what's funny is when I first started watching the series, for season one, I really hated it, and then I got into the characters. It's basically sex, drugs, and other shenanigans for kids, and they're in college. They're basically college age, like right there at like 18-20 in England, and it's just, it's sort of like, do you ever remember the movie Kids that they had several years ago about just sort of like kids just getting into trouble? Yeah. That's what this is about. And it's really interesting because it has all these different characters, and each episode is kind of told from a different person's point of view. So this is the second season. And what's great about it, they have like stuff like, they have an episode in there where the music teacher has written his own show, Osama, with an exclamation point. And it's a musical about 9/11.
Wow.
And it's really inappropriate, but really funny how just inappropriate. It's sort of like Hamlet, too, where it's just this weird musical that everyone's trying to do. But
yeah,
definitely worth checking out. Skins is a great show, so check that out. And then I also want to throw in the Lost Collection, which has nothing to do with the TV show. Lionsgate has released something like 8 or 9 videos, these old crappy 80s movies that you don't remember but are sort of fun to watch for 80s nostalgia. And some are pretty decent, like Slaughter High and you know, The Night Before with Keanu Reeves in his earlier days. And they have this one, they have Irreconcilable Differences. I mean, these are some older classic ones. And then some that are not so good, like Homer and Eddie with Jim Belushi and Whoopi Goldberg. But it is kind of fun. It's kind of fun to watch because it's sort of like when Paramount released I Love the 80s collection, and they had stuff like Top Gun and Flashdance and, you know, Cheech and Chong Still Smoking a couple months ago. And then the other one I want to mention, the other brick to say, is there's some Paramount Blu-rays I got. Now, I specifically requested Mean Girls because I liked that. I wanted to see it. I'd never seen it, and I liked it. And it was a neat...
because you're living La Vida Lohan.
That's right. And it's nice to see her back in her pre-completely crazy chick days. It's a good movie written by Tina Fey, so that's really good. And then I also said, oh, what the heck. The Last Kiss and Strange Wilderness also came out, so I asked for those. And what's funny is when I saw The Last Kiss like 3 years ago, absolutely hated it. It's with Zach Braff, and it's about all these relationship people and their couples, and all the relationships are imploding. And then I watched it again, and I'm kind of like, you know, something's happened in the last 3 years where it became much more realistic. I don't know, maybe it's just I've known more people whose relationships have exploded and that sort of thing, which for some reason I'm like, well, this actually is not so bad. And then there was Strange Wilderness, third time I've seen this movie. I saw it in the theaters.
Awful movie. Awful.
I do not recommend the movie, but I saw it in the theaters, I saw it on DVD, and now I've seen it on Blu-ray. Oddly, it gets better every time you see it. It's because you come in with completely low expectations. And I'm like, okay, well, I know this part's stupid, but this part is funny. It's coming up.
Oh,
and I
that's
just had
right.
it played in the background.
That was actually my review when it came out. If you go in thinking this is going to be the worst movie ever, you'll like it.
Well, and what's funny is the best parts of it are the nature footage where they're narrating all the nature stuff. So you're running around the house doing stuff, and then you stop and you watch the nature footage where they're like, bears attack people all the time, but bears are not attacked by people that much. You know, and these kind of stupid lines.
Yeah. Oh, no, I get it. So I'm with you.
Anyways, oh, you want to do the stinker? We only got like 20 seconds.
Yeah, right? Absolutely. The stinker is the spirit. If you buy this, you will probably get some kind of venereal disease.
Neil will come and beat you up.
Or give you a venereal disease. So, anyways, wrapping up. 17 again. Sounds like a good one. State of Play and Crank. I don't know. Rewind the show. You'll figure it out. In the meantime, we'll see you next week when we talk about the soloist, Obsessed, Earth, and Fighting.
I want to see Star Trek.
I'm Hugh Besson!